There's a makeshift memorial growing in Atlanta. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News at the Carter Center, where people are leaving flowers, candles, and more in tribute to Jimmy Carter, our oldest president ever, who died at his home in Plains, Georgia at age 100.
One thing I admired most about him, he thought and believed, and he really did believe this, and I do as well, that everybody deserves an even shot.
President Biden's declared a national day of mourning, January 9th, when there will be a state funeral for Carter, who's most renowned for his charity work after he was president.
The Nobel Peace Prize Committee says former President Jimmy Carter should be praised for his decades of untiring efforts to find peaceful solutions. Carter won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi extended his heartfelt condolences to the family of Jimmy Carter and the people of the United States. Carter successfully negotiated the Camp David Accords in 1978, leading to a peace agreement between Egypt and Israel.
Fox's Jared Halpern, another loss in court for President-elect Trump in a New York civil case that dates back decades. A U.S. appeals court has upheld a jury verdict against Trump in the defamation suit filed against him by author E. Jean Carroll, who alleged he sexually assaulted her in a store dressing room in the 1990s, then defamed her while denying Carroll's allegations. The jury awarded her $5 million. Trump's also appealing a second jury verdict that orders him to pay Carroll $83 million more. The next Congress will be sworn in Friday, and House Speaker Mike Johnson may not be elected Speaker again by his fellow Republicans, including Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, who tells Fox,
I can give him a chance, but I would like to hear from him how he's going to be delivering this agenda and what plan he has, and he hasn't been doing it.
Spartz is from Ukraine, born there when it was part of the Soviet Union. Today, President Biden announced another $2.5 billion in weapons and military aid, saying his administration is now giving Ukraine all the assistance allotted by Congress to help battle Russia's invasion. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code SECONDFREE by January 26th. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Norris. A four-year-old is facing serious injuries after a car crash Friday evening. The U.S. Police Department says it happened at Avenue 3E in East County 16th Street just after 6 p.m. on Friday. Police say a 31-year-old woman was driving a silver Acura with a four-year-old passenger when she ran the stop sign at the intersection. A 63-year-old man driving a pickup truck collided with the Acura. Police say the child was wearing a seatbelt but not a proper child safety seat. Both drivers were transported to Onvita Health with minor injuries. The four-year-old was airlifted to a Phoenix hospital in serious but stable condition. And also happening this weekend, Western Sands RV Park spread holiday cheer in a big way, donating over $3,000 to Toys for Tots. The funds raised through community efforts will go toward providing toys and gifts for families in need. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Upgrade your home with DreamLux Remodeling. Locally owned and operated, DreamLux proudly serves Yuma and the Desert Southwest using only the best products from Kohler, Delta, Anderson, and more. Elevate your home with grout-free luxury bathrooms and energy-efficient windows and doors. It's DreamLux for Yuma's best customer service, too. Schedule a consultation by logging on to DreamLux.us, DreamLux.us. Find out how you can get 15% off your complete project with DreamLux. Affordable luxury made easy.
License number 352-2.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
We were just talking about the whole Gila Ridge stuff. He was telling me about how his daughter played volleyball with Molly.
My granddaughter.
And the whole coach's discipline thing that you were telling me about. He gave me a different...
The volleyball coach?
He was telling me about the wrestling. I'm not impressed with that.
It's consumed me for the last week. I've just been inundated by it, you know. I've been working with John LeSueur. I wrote an appeal and all this stuff, so it's just like on my mind all the time. I'm glad we don't do litigation. I like it. It's like a game to me. So
it is, but it's taxing.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they should go into more depth on investigating what is really going on. Like
absolutely,
you said, don't just take some young kid's word that I've been practicing. Well, he might have just been in there running around the thing on his own and thought he was practicing, you know?
Yeah, and not only that, you've got wrestling as a team sport. He can't wrestle himself.
Yeah.
So go to the kids that he's a heavyweight. So there's one or two kids that he would be wrestling with the whole time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to know if he ever wrestled with them. Go ask them, you know? It's pretty simple.
Don't just, I mean, like they did to Mara Lee. She's on her way to Phoenix to the tournament and told her to turn around and come back.
That's so inappropriate.
That's not right. Why couldn't you wait until she finished the tournament and then talk to her the following Monday?
It's not like she was putting the kids in danger.
Exactly.
She was putting the parents' ego in danger.
As soon as they told me, I knew exactly who it was.
Yeah. And what was weird is it spoiled the dynamic because there was a really good fan group going behind those girls. And since it disrupted the team so much, it was hard to just have that camaraderie with the rest of the parents because you had to pick sides.
Yeah, and I mean, there's rules. You can't go talk to a coach until the next day. You have to wait 24 hours, and that's a good rule.
Yes, and I've broken that rule.
Well, I'm sure we all have, we probably didn't break it the way this other guy did, but...
I don't know, how caustic he was. I have no idea what the interaction was, if it got blown out of proportion after the fact. But, I've been on the wrong side of that rule more than once. And maybe because I thought, it's more of a suggestion. And
no, it's an AIA rule.
It's an AIA rule?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not just their own provisions?
Yeah.
Well, and another thing was, I have good friends with the coach that I spoke with outside of the volleyball realm. And I helped them, in their personal lives. And they've come over to my house and spent time. And so we would text back and forth all the time. And I had a particular question one time, and it was Molly got benched for the entire game, and she had missed the practice before, but it was because they called the practice at the last minute. It was Memorial Day or Veterans Day. But which one is in the fall?
Oh, that's probably Veterans Day.
Veterans Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day's in May.
May, okay, it was in the fall. And so we were planning on, there was no school. We were planning on a boat trip, and they texted, I think it was like Sunday evening, saying there's mandatory practice tomorrow, and Molly texts back, well, I have a family outing that I'm going on, and they have a rule that if you miss practice without a valid excuse, then you don't get to play the next game. And so she got benched the whole next game, and the game after that, she didn't play much, but it had been 24 hours, and I texted and I said, hey, how come Molly got benched? Was it because, you did it for the better of the team, or was it because she missed the practice? Because if it's because she missed the practice, then I'd like to have a chat. If it's because it's better that you thought it was just a better rotation, then that's your call. You're the coach. And they're like, don't talk to me within 24 hours of a game. I'm like, of a game? Because there's always games going on. And it's been, you know, 2 days since that game. It's just that it happened to be, we had a game the day that I texted, but I wasn't texting about that game.
Yeah.
And then they just recited rules back to me, and the friend thing kind of got really limited, and I was frustrated about that because I liked being their friend, and the fact that they were a coach is like, we're not. This is almost as formal as litigation, like an attorney going to a judge mid-trial and saying, hey, why did you make the ruling that way? And that's how they were treating it. It's like, whoa, you can't be talking to me outside of these, you know, these specific rules. And all I wanted to know was, what's going on? Can you give me a little feedback here? Because it's frustrating to send my daughter on a trip where she leaves at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, misses, well, not even 2 o'clock, well, it's probably like 10 o'clock in the morning to go to a Phoenix school and get back at midnight and not have played.
Yeah.
And I just, and was it because she continued to go with our family plan, or was it because, you know, you're doing your coach thing? So anyway, that was my beef. And we never recovered from that.
Well, I think she was going through a lot of stuff, personal stuff in her life.
Uh-huh.
And then with this man.
That wasn't even Merrily.
Oh, was it?
No. It was with, because Merrily was a varsity coach. I wasn't even
Molly. Right, because I mean, Merrily kind of blew me off after the COFA game. Uh-huh. And I was just like, dang, that was weird. She's, you know, she goes, oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. I go, well, I've been at the games, uh-huh. a lot of the games. And I told Shanna about it, and Shanna goes, she's been going through a lot of stuff.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And with the fertility treatment and hormones and also getting lambasted from the school and parents and yeah. every different direction I
and
get.
And the kids.
This wasn't Merrily.
Well, Shanna.
This was when Molly was on JV and Merrily was a varsity coach.
Oh.
And I wasn't texting Merrily. I was texting a friend that was participating in the JV. And so.
Well, I know one thing. Shanna loves her, man. She goes, I'll tell you one thing. She goes, I'll take the credit for the improvement Molly made because I put a lot of time in with her and she is good.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, of course it's.
I think she single-handedly sustained Molly's self-esteem during some of those.
She loves Molly.
Tough parts of the
season.
She
loves her, man. She yeah. really does. She brags about her all the time. She's, I'm like her dad, Shanna's dad. Her dad left when she was young. She was 2 or 3 years old. She doesn't even remember him leaving. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really know him.
Yeah.
And so I went to her games and went to the award banquets and all that kind of stuff, you know, with her.
Yeah.
When she was growing up. And so now she tells me, let's go to lunch, Pops. And I go, okay. And she goes, no volleyball talk. And I go,
really?
Okay.
Really? Huh.
Because when she starts talking about it, when she starts asking me questions, now she knows I'm going to tell her exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah, my daughter, yeah, she likes to talk to me about volleyball. She doesn't necessarily like to hear my opinion.
Your opinion, yeah, right, exactly.
Because I will. It's unfiltered, and I'm not always on her side. Sometimes I'm like, listen, it's not about your, you know, participation or your spikes or your position. It's about the experience overall, and it's about yeah. how to learn to deal with life. You are going to do and control the things that you can control. So are you winning every one of those sprints when you guys are at practice?
Yeah.
You're the first one on the line. Because I know you're fast, and I know you can do that. And if you're not, then don't talk to me
yeah.
because you're not putting forth 100%. And so anyway, she doesn't like to hear that. She likes to hear that, yeah, you should be in there, you're the best, and you should be getting better sets. And if you were getting better sets, then you would be putting down those spikes. Not that you hit it into the net because, you know, it wasn't a good set, but you should have not hit so hard. You
yeah.
should have.
Or you should have did something else with it.
Yeah.
Try to spike it, you know.
The fact is you got to get it over the net. You touched it last.
Well, I coached varsity football at Yuma High School. And I helped at Cibola the first year that they were open. I coached Pop Warner with all of my sons all the way through. Probably have the best record, winning record, of anybody that coached Pop Warner.
Oh, yeah.
I coached Babe Ruth, won 2 city championships, a state championship. So I know about coaching, and I know about how to evaluate players and everything, you know. And Shannon.
And both of those, football and baseball, are very, you know, the coach is so involved with the team.
Yes.
And who plays in what position and how much field time they get. And it's really a balancing act.
And I told her, I said, and I tried to help Molly a lot because I had experience. She wanted me to help her coach and deal with the parents so she mm-hmm. would never have to deal with them. I told her I wouldn't do that. But my philosophy was...
Molly or Shan or... Molly?
Not Molly, I mean Marilee.
Yeah, okay.
But when I coached at any level, the best players played. I didn't care who their parents were, mm-hmm. you know, or anything. Mm-hmm. And unless they did something really bad, they were gonna start. They were not sitting on the bench. And I told them at the varsity level, you don't bench your best players. You're getting paid to win. Uh-huh. This isn't a city league game. This is varsity volleyball. Mm-hmm. You need to win the game. Now, unless they were disrespectful to the coaches or whatever, I don't care. You don't bench them for a whole game. If they miss practice, bench them for one set. Mm-hmm. You don't set them down the whole game. Those are your best players. You have to play them. And I said, and I believe that. And once they know that, I mean, life is the same way. You got people that are good up here at one thing, and you got other people that are good over here at another thing. Everybody's not good at everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, and that's how I coach. I never bench my players, my best players, for the whole game. But I never bench my worst players for a whole game either.
Interesting. You know? And that was something I was going to come around to. Let me just get it on the recording.
Yeah, let's welcome him on. So,
this discussion, I want to walk right back into it. But introduce yourself to my partner, Adam Hansen. Have you already? So this is
a little bit, Dugan. Yeah.
And... Dugan, give a brief introduction of yourself. What do you do?
I'm the regional sales manager for Global Organics.
Okay.
And Bioflora is the agriculture part of Global Organics. We also have a mineral bioscience division, and we have a life science division, which we have 3 microbiologists and a molecular microbiologist. We also have a person that's works with algae. We call her an algaeologist.
Uh-huh. And
so we have a 20-acre... thing of ponds that we make algae.
Where is that located?
That's in the farm is in outside of Buckeye.
Uh-huh.
But the main office is in Goodyear, Arizona.
Yes.
And okay. We're a manufacturing company first. We manufacture our own products.
So that's how the profit is made by your company is the manufacturing of is it fertilizers or soil stabilizers or
We have everything.
A whole line of products.
OMRI certified organic products and sustainable conventional products.
So do you travel around and talk to different farmers and say, hey, our product is better than so-and-so's product? Or what is your role? What do you do on a daily basis?
Well, I don't actually tell somebody that our product's better. We just prove it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, how do you sell anything?
Just go one-on-one, you know. Yeah. And
you spray it in their mouth, say,
yeah.
Trust me, open your mouth.
Yeah. And I mean, they're all different. Some guys will go, God, I've been looking for this, you know. Let's get started. I'll give you 100 acres. Some guys will go, okay, well, let's do an acre and see what, you know.
See what you got.
So you just, you know, it just depends. We've been, my area was from East Texas, still is, all the way to Imperial Valley. And then all of Arizona, New Mexico. So I worked with all the green chilies, onions, whatever crops they had over there in Dimming and Hatch and Las Cruces.
And how long have you been doing it?
I've been working for Global Organics for 13 years.
Okay. So one of my questions right off the bat is this holistic farming. Adam and I have both tried it, where we've gotten goats.
And failed.
And yes, we both tried it and failed. Goats, chickens, and try to do like the no-till type farming where the goats and the sheep that with their hooves, they're going to kind of grind in the droppings and the urine, and that's going to fertilize the soil, and then we're going to be able to rotate them. We're going to be able to plant there, and our crops are going to do great. Our gardens are going to do awesome. The chickens are going to go around, and they're going to add their own little contributions as well. And so there's this whole movement of don't till the soil, because if you do it, you're destroying all the natural organic life in the soil, and we're creating this sterile soil that is going to be all just artificially supplemented by these fertilizers that are man-made, and ultimately, if it's man-made, it must be bad for us. And so we are sterilizing the earth through this process, and we're on a crash course for starvation. And I don't see it, on just a large scale, because I look around and I look at these farming operations, and these farmers, they treat their land really, really well, just like people that harvest lumber treat the forests really, really well. But what do you think about that, the dichotomy between the holistic no-till approach and the supplemented approach with man-made fertilizers and other soil stabilizers?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
We will send 2024 out and welcome 2025 with a great week of weather. Starting with sunny at 77 today, 48 overnight tonight, 73 and sunny on New Year's Eve, 46 tomorrow night, and New Year's Day Wednesday, sunny and 74.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years. Dune season is here, so ask about specialty tires for your toys. We also do alignments, brakes, oil changes, AC work, inspections, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations. Or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com. Choose the perfect tire and make your appointment today. We also have free pickup and drop-off for your hassle-free experience guaranteed. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Donut, 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 donut. Okay, so what are you thinking about right now? Donuts, right? That's the way radio works. Get News Talk 560 KBLU working for you. Use frequency to get top-of-mind awareness to get your unfair share of the business in your category. Call me, Tony D, today at 928-344-4980.
Hello? It shouldn't be this hard to get the things you need, to do the things you need to do.
Southwest Lumber understands your home improvement needs. Got a big project that needs the tools professionals use? Southwest Lumber rents tile cutters, compactors, concrete mixers, and saws. They rent engine stands, lawnmowers, and tree trimmers, too. Got a party? Get your tables and chairs, even snow cone and cotton candy machines, plus the supplies that go with it. They've been helping homeowners since 1973.
Do it best with Southwest Lumber, 1917 South Avenue B.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
The best way to find out would, I mean, you know, if you wanted to do it, would be to get some soil and have it analyzed.
But you've seen it, right? Haven't you seen the end product from what you've contributed to farmers' lands?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen, even in passing, the organic option with the no-till option. Is the no-till as bad as they make it out to seem? Are we killing all the natural organic life that is allowing the plants to grow healthy naturally? Or is that something that's just kind of blown out of proportion, kind of like the hole in the ozone or maybe even climate change?
I don't think that no-till is bad. But it depends on what kind of soil you have.
Uh-huh.
If you have real heavy clay soil, then you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to do something to get air in there, because the beneficial microorganisms that are in the soil, they live on water, food, which is a carbon source, and air. That's what they need, just like us. They need to breathe, they need to drink, and they need to eat. And so if you get a heavy soil, like high magnesium type soil, that just keeps getting pounded on, you know, whether it's goats or cows or whatever, they keep walking on it and they keep pushing it down. And
or machinery or
you
us.
Know,
or,
yeah, you, you know. Know, I mean, a rototiller is always pretty good. I know you're talking about no-till, but there's other ways to do that without really disturbing. It's worse for the biology in the soil not to get oxygen or water or food than just to be pressing forward with a no-till system without making sure you have all three of those.
Yeah.
You know, now I know some farmers, they'll have their beds up and they have no-till, but they still get the oxygen in there, you know, whether they either spike it, you know, they're not taking anything out and they keep adding more products to it. I have one grower that uses our Go Isolates, and our Go Isolates is a humic acid-based product that's carbon-based. And we our humic acid is different because we take it from three different areas in the United States, so we have a lot more diversity in ours. Another thing we do is we don't kill the biology that's in it, because humic acid is made from humates.
Okay.
Humates are like the Amazon got covered with lava and got composted.
Okay.
And then millions of years later, somebody's over there digging it up going, hey, man, what they discovered it because these hunters were watching these deer and elk eat the dirt. And they're like, man, we need, and a couple of them were scientists. So they got it and tested it. And it was humates.
So it's this organic material in the soil that had, you know,
that had composted over millions of years.
Okay.
So we dig it up, but we get it from three different places. Most people get it, almost everybody gets it from one. When we process it in a cold water, real slow process. It takes about 2 months. Everybody else uses
it. Processing involves like helping the humates
separate and
okay.
you know, let the solids settle, and then you have this black liquid.
Okay.
And then we pull fulvic acid out of that also that we use for makeups and drinks for diabetics and just all kinds of stuff, you know, that we do. Other countries buy it from us to blend it, because fulvic acid will chelate whatever you're eating or medicine you're taking.
What does that mean, chelate?
Fulvic acid, it has a nanomolecule, all of it.
Okay.
Real tiny molecule. So it can penetrate into leaf, skin, bark, soil, anything.
So it helps it break it down to digest.
Yeah, and if you're putting it in with something else, it gets it in there. Example, my thyroid was causing my heart to go into AFib a lot. So I had to get my thyroid killed. They gave me all this medication to keep my heart slow and keep my blood thinned and all this. Well, I was taking this product called Totalin. It has fulvic acid in it. So I called one of our scientists and I go, dude, I took the Totalin, man, and I'm feeling really weird right now. Are you taking any medication? And I said, yeah. He started laughing. He goes, you just chelated your medication and helped it get into your system like 100 times faster.
Oh.
And he goes, don't take it anymore.
Okay.
So I can't take it.
So chelating is a really good thing certain aspects, but sometimes you could enhance the dose unintentionally.
Yeah, so we use it like in foliar applications on plants, and it'll help get the nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, whatever we're using, into that leaf a lot quicker. And it's a natural product. It's organic.
So you say it's organic, and I hear it's organic, and therefore it must be good. But obviously, if we step back just a bit, we know there's a lot of things that are organic that are bad, right? We don't want to, certain arsenic or whatever. Yeah. It's poison, right? But it's organic. And and there are also a lot of things that are man-made that are non-organic that are really good.
Right.
But there's just become, it seems like, this mental stigma that if you stamp organic on it, then it must be better for you. And you as a scientist and going through this, you understand it's a combination. We use what works, and sometimes it's organic, and sometimes it's not, but generally it's a blend of the two of supplementing what's already organic there in the soil that is helping those plants grow and making the process grow faster or helping take away some of the maladies in the product that we don't want. For example, let's say growing a corn stalk, you don't need the corn stalk to be 6 feet tall, but you want the ear to be just as big or even plumper. And so allow the corn stalk to be genetically modified to be shorter and the ear to develop quicker, then you get more of the output with less use on the soil. Would that be a proper example?
Yeah, it depends on if the corn is going to be used for human consumption or if it's going to be used for animal consumption, because for animal consumption, they want the stalks to be as tall as they can get.
Why is that?
Because it gives them more food for the cattle.
Because of stalks, because they eat the stalks.
They eat the stalks too.
Okay.
And so it's called, you'll see these big mounds with tarps over them, like heading to Phoenix.
I've seen those.
I thought that was always just
it's
manure.
Silage.
I thought it was manure, yeah.
No, it's corn, usually corn silage when it's that big.
Okay.
And so what they do is they take that and they grind it up and they put it right in with their blend of alfalfa and oats and whatever they're feeding their cattle at the time. And it's like a filler.
Silage is just the food that they're waiting to feed their cattle?
Yeah.
Is that what silage is?
That's what silage is.
Okay.
And they grow it for that. But if it's for human consumption, the ideal thing would be able to, and most of the time, a stalk of for corn is only going to produce one ear of corn. I've seen some weird ones that have had two, but that's not very often. I mean, it's usually one stalk, one ear of corn.
Yeah.
So
the potato, I don't know the exact time period, but I know the phrase of the great potato famine back, in Ireland and in Europe where, it was determined that the human population had reached its max. The earth could not provide enough food for any more humans. And even the potatoes were stopped growing because the soil was not fertile any longer until there was this discovery of nitrogen, how you could manufacture it artificially. And once nitrogen was introduced, then boom, the crops started coming back, and they started coming back manyfold of what they were prior to even the ground being used in the first place for farming purposes. And so it saved essentially humanity in general, or allowed the population to grow exponentially without the threat of starvation. And it seems like that is forgotten, that it was nitrogen that allowed many more people to live and without being in the throes of starvation and therefore going to war over more and more land because we could use a smaller parcel of land to produce more food. And that's done by artificial means, or at least by supplementing the land with artificial supplements like fertilizer. So do you run into those types of dogmas and get frustrated when people say, well, I just want all organic, I don't want anything artificial? And you knowing what you do and been in your career as long as you have, think you're missing the bigger picture. Like, how did you even get to talk to me? You're talking to me because a car drove, you know, you drove in a car, or you're talking on a cell phone, or you're working on a computer, and those things are all, you know, artificial. But you're saying that we can't treat the way that we create the most important thing, food, with artificial supplements?
The farmers in Yuma, most farmers anywhere that I've dealt with, are really resilient, and they've learned to go with the flow. A long time ago, they would, you know, in Yuma, a lot of the soils are real heavy, and they're high in magnesium, so they seal up, mm-hmm. and they're real hard, and you can see the big clods. So what they would do is they'd run sulfuric acid on it, okay, to break everything down, get the soil softer and all that.
So sulfuric acid is like some potent stuff.
It's potent stuff.
That'll like eat away metal and stuff like that,
so
right?
Guess what it does when it goes in the soil? It kills all your biology.
Okay.
So then I was talking to this one older gentleman that was a farmer, and I go, so you put that on there. Now you mellowed the soil out. Now you can work it a lot better, and it doesn't cost you as much for your fuel and all that. But then you turn around, and I said, and you plant your wheat after your vegetables are done, and you put anhydrous ammonia on it because it's cheaper. Now, anhydrous ammonia seals the soil.
Oh.
So you're sealing up the soil, and now you got to use the sulfuric acid.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it better to spend a little bit more money on UN32 or something than that? But then most commercial fertilizers are alkaline-based. So what does that do? It raises the pH.
Okay.
When the pH starts going up, phosphorus doesn't move. So you got to do something, you know.
So alkaline is acidically.
No, alkaline is sodic. It's more sodic.
Okay.
Sodium.
So when the pH goes up, that's a higher salt content.
Yes.
When pH goes down,
it's more acidic.
More acidic.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so.
And we naturally have a high salt content, right?
We do.
In the desert here.
Yeah. And people go, oh my God, man, My pH, like in New Mexico, I've got one ranch. The pH is like 8.8. I don't know how I'm going to grow anything on it.
What's the optimal pH?
In the optimal pH is about 7.5.
Oh, okay. So just 1 point makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. And in Yuma, I go 8.8. I've grown the most beautiful romaine crops for a farmer, you know, with our stuff that's organic.
Uh huh.
Because we use the biology. We use the humic acid with the biology in it, and we're putting carbon back in the soil, and carbon feeds your biology, all the microorganisms and all that, you know. And so they've changed a lot. Farmers now.
But when you say you put carbon back in the soil, mm-hmm. what's an efficient way to put carbon back in the soil?
With humic acid. But ours is a carbon base. Product.
And the humic acid is what you cultivate from
these mines.
Okay, so it is an organic product,
right?
But it's basically,
if it's certified organic,
it's artificially supplemented. It's usually, right?
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's processed through, you know, some type of mechanism where it's separating and distilling it to be more concentrate, right?
Yeah, like in where we're at, we make our own. And
yeah.
We have these gigantic stainless steel. I mean, it's awesome when you walk back there.
So you don't just go out and like
mine it.
Yeah, dig it up.
It doesn't go from mine to farmer.
No.
Or,
well, you
know.
Can. There's people that use the humates like that, mm-hmm. but it takes them forever to break down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where it's misleading because the people.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's the organic. That's
right.
True organic. It's like
yeah.
No human intervention other than taking one
but
thing.
But the only intervention with ours is the water. We're not adding any chemicals to it at all.
But the procedure,
breaking it down with water.
The procedure
is certain. The human intervention
yeah.
is the procedure.
Yeah, it's
right?
Not like in the old days with covered wagons where you would dig it up and, you know, put water in it and let it settle out and
uh-huh.
do what you got to do, you know. But when you're mass producing in these big tanks.
Even if you knew where to find it and what it was
yeah.
and how to apply it, which I had no clue about any of this. You would still need to intervene in some way.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
95.1 KTTI, 100.9 The River, and 560 KBlue wish you and yours the very best this holiday season. And so does this great local business, AIM Electric. Call them at 928-291-9278.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll, Vice President, General Manager of Eldorado Broadcasters. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business, I'd like you to hire us. Yes, I'd like you to add 560 KBLU to your team. For what it costs you for hourly employees, like that guy that at this very moment is leaning back in his chair staring aimlessly, or the gal checking her Facebook page for the 17th time today, you could be reaching out to thousands of listeners with a positive message about your business. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to bust you out like that, but hey, get back to work. If you want to reach the people listening to the radio right now, just like you are, give me a call at 928-344-4980. And if I'm not leaning back in my chair, staring aimlessly, or checking my Facebook page, I'll answer your call and we can talk about us going to work for you. 344-4980.
Eldorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
End the year 2024 and start 2025 with a new car from El Centro Motors with these promotions from Ford Motor Credit. 2024 F-150 Explorer and Escape, 1.90% APR for 60 months, plus $1,000 holiday cash, plus $1,000 trade-in assistance. Take the holiday cash and use it any way you want. We will write you a check the next day. Promotion valid from December 20th, 2024 to January 2nd, 2025. And remember, if you don't come see us first, we can't save you any money. It's just that easy.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
And that seems to be the misconception. I don't know, Adam, tell me if you have seen the same thing from public opinion, that the more human intervention there is in nature, the worse off we are.
I would agree with that. There's a whole
mindset out there about that. And
it's the global warming kind of movement. It fits within that whole
climate change religion. Has been going on since the beginning of time.
We call it a religion because it really is.
They said we were going to freeze to death.
You're right.
You know.
Uh huh. That's true. And we've talked about that many times on our podcast, that we're supposed to follow the science, but the science changes every time that it's convenient for a political party to use that science to actually.
Yeah, so you follow the money.
Exactly.
The people's actions and their favorite organizations that are contributing to their campaigns.
Yeah, and unfortunately, one party doesn't really support the farming as well as the other one does. You know, and that's just,
why do you think that is?
I just don't. I have no idea. They just don't. I mean, it's not their priority.
Do you want to know what I think it is?
It may be because of all the fuel being. I don't know.
How you ask a question, then you want to answer your own question.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, what are they going to do when there's no more food? Some people think
they're going to manufacture
from the grocery store.
Well, that's
bugs. That's what they're going
to
do.
That's kind of what I'm rounding about to is, yes, some people go to the grocery store and they're looking for organic on there. And I'm thinking, okay, by the time you get to the grocery store, you know how many human technology and artificial mechanisms have been implemented in your life to even get there?
Yeah.
You're thinking that you are on a moral high ground because you're buying organic, but you got in your Tesla or you got in your EV and you drove there, and that took an enormous amount of human intervention and mining and breaking down of chemicals and also the use of fossil fuels to create that. And then you've got these lights in the store to do it. You've got the coolers in the store to do it. Or even if you're going to the farmer market, everything, you're using all these petroleum products to preserve the food in its organic state. And so it's just an utter oblivion about what is really going on in your world if you think that you are better off or doing better for the planet than the person standing next to you who's just like, whatever bananas the going to be yellow and big and cheap, then I'm going to buy that because I'm feeding my kids and I'm trying to, you know, go to their after school classes and or their after school activities, and I got better things to do than read labels and just determine whether or not, you know, this technically comes organically. And so I guess my point is most people don't get the big picture, and that's why I think that most concentrated areas and heavily densely populated metropolitan areas are blue. And meaning they're voting Democrat for more government intervention. They think socialism is the way to go. They don't understand where the food comes from. They don't understand the production that actually creates, whether it be houses or cars or food or anything else. And so therefore, they're okay with what the politicians are spewing out there as far as we've got to control these other individuals, farmers included, activities. And farmers understand, hey, we know how to produce, and we can live independently, or we can live in a society that we can trade. You know, you produce this good technology on your end, and I'll produce the good food on my end, and we can work together. And the middle, that creates a middle class that is self-sustaining, and the government doesn't like
self-sustaining
middle class. They want control, and control comes out of catastrophe. And so when there is scarcity in food or in any type of essentials to living, then the government automatically has an upper hand because they can say, I can solve that problem. It doesn't matter if they actually can, but they can say they can. And the people are more willing to accept that lie.
Okay, think about this. All the billions of dollars we've spent on these inner cities to have control of them, to get their votes.
Yes.
If you're blue.
There's a homeless problem, the $80 billion that was spent in California.
So why don't they take that money, go in there, and show these people how to grow their own crops? One time I put this thing out, I go, here's what we need to do. We need to go into the inner cities. We need to start knocking down those buildings. We need to hire the people that live there to do the work. And we need to hire women to watch the kids for people that are going to work. All this money is going to stay right in there. Have their own parks and recreation, have their own thing. By the time it's all done, they're self-sustained. And in the meantime, they get rid of all the guys that
won't work
that are just killing people, you know, and that's another subject too. The worst gun control, tightest gun control is the worst places in the world because the good people aren't allowed to have guns.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, that's my thing. Why don't they just tear them down and slowly start building them back up with this money instead of giving everybody free money all the time? They want to work. They want to be able to do that. And I'll guarantee you there'll be more fathers out there contributing to their families if you did that in those cities. There'd be more fathers getting more involved and staying with their families. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest problems, I think, in society.
100% absolutely agree that the nuclear family is the best form of government ever invented. I stole that line from Vivek Ramaswamy, but I really love it. And I believed it from before he said it, but he articulated it in a way that was like, oh, yeah, that makes so much sense. And it's because when you're raising your kids, you think outside of yourself.
Yep.
Right, and having a child is the best way to become really charitable and selfless, and that attribute helps you participate in a community in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that, you feel good, and you see that there's satisfaction that comes from contributing, not just getting more, right, and living good, but actually doing something that's worthwhile and that has a benefit to others as well as yourself. And it's not how much you have, and we've always seen this, you know, throughout history as we've gained more and more wealth over a period of time, that we have just, even somebody living at a level of poverty today lives at a higher quality of life than kings did 200-300 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the technology and all the advances that have come about through medical and other technological advances. But it's about having more than the next person. And when you have that mentality, it's never enough. But if you don't look at it that way and say, I want to give and contribute, starting with my children, and then with the community around me and my other extended family, and then my cousins, and then whoever my neighbor is, then you get this sense of fulfillment that has nothing to do with what they have and everything to do with how much you contribute.
Right.
And then you actually become more satisfied personally, and the community flourishes.
I can remember when my family was just getting started and the boys were just starting to play football. So I had three boys playing sports. I wasn't making that. We went without so they could play sports.
Uh-huh.
But I picked all the little neighbor kids up and paid for them to play Pop Warner football, and had an old pickup, and I'd have six kids sitting in the back of it taking them to practice every day.
Yeah.
And you know what did my heart the best? Years later, being in a grocery store, hey, coach, come here. I turn around, maybe not even remember him, you know, and walk over. Hi, coach, remember me? Oh, yeah, now I remember you. This is my baby I got, you know.
Yeah.
And they're coaching.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them coached.
There's a level of respect for coaches out there, because unless you're at the highest level of college or, you know, professional sports, you are not getting compensated.
You're not getting.
Sometimes it's zero compensation.
Yeah.
Even if there is any compensation, it's like pennies on the hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
The amount of work and dedication that you contribute, Adam and I, we coached catch and go flag football team.
That was
exhausting.
Yeah.
And we only did it for a season. And I look at these coaches that do it year after year and put together teams that they work together and grow together and actually become these really well-rounded winning teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, the amount of time that they're putting into that, they could have developed a $1 million industry with the amount of time that they're putting into coaching. But what is more worthwhile? Developing these kids and producing the character that they are.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of million-dollar industries. We need more coaches.
Yeah. I mean, we had, I can tell you the first, my oldest son started playing, and I got good coaches. Robert Rico played at Ko-Fi, played at Yuma, and we had a guy from Antelope that helped us coach. He played, you know, at Antelope. And we coached these kids, and it's the only time that I can remember that all three high schools had a winning season. It was with all them boys that we had. There was about 35 of them split up between the three high schools.
And when those high schools had winning seasons, you go into those high schools, and the morale that you feel in the high school, it's palpable.
Oh, those guys were outgoing. I mean, they were outspoken. They were leaders, every one of them. I mean, I had kids from San Pasqual, Antelope, Yuma, Kofa, and Cibola at that time. Those were all the high schools. And we had kids from all of them. I mean, Mike Sisdiaga is the head groundskeeper at the University of Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And he was played guard for years, and he was better than that. But, I mean, he got in high school, and he's a running back. And a lot of them were like that. One was a receiver that played guard, you know. And but just to see those kids all do good at the same time. But they all three had good coaches at the high schools also.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't all about me or my coaching staff, but we got them on the right track. You know, they were ready to go because we coached them to win. And I told them, I go, everybody tells you guys, you know, keep your head up. It doesn't matter if you win or not. It doesn't matter if you win. You want to be a winner.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
A violent crime is now committed every 24 seconds in our country, and police response times have doubled, which means you need a new way to protect yourself and your family. I'm Rob Chadwick, former head of the FBI's Tactical Training Unit. The USCCA and I have put together life-saving tips that most civilians never get to hear, and we put them all into an updated free resource exclusively for listeners. Text SAFE to 87222 to get instant access right now. If you're serious about protecting yourself and your loved ones, text SAFE to 87222 while there's still time.
Texting enrolls for automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Rodeo is a window into our Western past that quickly became a unique and exciting sport. The tradition of rodeo is well-preserved in our region thanks to the efforts of present-day Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo members. The first Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo was held in 1946, which is just a small piece of our rich heritage with rodeo heroes. The Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo continues to grow as tradition is kept for future generations and continued support of the Yuma community.
Ready? Go!
Okay, doctor.
Operation!
No,
Hurry, time's almost up!
Okay. The most amazing care. Oh, Belly!
Oh, I know! Shrine!
Time's up! Okay, our turn.
Ready? Go!
They changed my life.
Highness Hospital for Children! Yay!
Because people just like you, kids like me, can play in the game of life.
I can do things now that were impossible before.
I can draw.
I can play basketball.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you!
Go to loveshrines.org right away. Thank you!
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.